Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and joining with me in the extra hour is Pat.
Hello, hello.
Chris.
Hello.
And Steve.
Good day to you, sir.
Good day, good day. Oh my goodness, have you missed the first hour? We've talked about how God is moving on the hearts of people. Staffers are getting convicted. The plan of the enemy is being exposed. Listen, if you've wondered where is God, he's here. Chris, he's there. Steve, he is everywhere. All at the same time. And his eyes, his glorious eyes, they're on you. They're on you. Oh my goodness. Listen, that's all I need to know this week. Well, we have so much to share with you. We want to thank you for joining us in the extra hour. If you missed the first hour, please get connected. Share with your friend. And, of course, you can always find VFN Radio on your Facebook. You can find VFN Radio by going to VFNTV.com. And, of course, select the flaming moving torch. I love that torch. VFN, it's worth seeing the flaming torch. Go to VFNTV.com, select the torch, and you can see over 1,500 highlights. And you'll find everything, everything there for your encouragement. And feel free to pass with your friends and your family. So many are being encouraged. So many are sharing their reports. And we're seeing that it's happening. There's a viral, such a viral aspect to it that before you know it, something that someone listened to in the United States is going all the way to South Korea and back. Mm-hmm. And so that's really beautiful. When someone listens to something in the United States and comments on it, and it gets to South Korea, and South Korea posts, and it gets back to somebody else in the United States, listen, that's good. That's good. But, you know, CBN News is reporting that former Tiananmen leader says that what China needs right now, the best hope for China, is Jesus Christ. Now, this is a former Tiananmen leader. You got to listen to this. But let me tell you, God is moving around the world.
Mm-hmm.
And the nations are coming to Jesus. You got to listen to this.
Today marks the 24th anniversary of the Tiananmen Square protests. The bloody crackdown by the Chinese military drove one of the protest leaders into exile, but also into faith with Jesus Christ. Chai Ling now heads a ministry opposed to China's forced abortions under the one-child policy. She told a U.S. congressional subcommittee that her country may be materially rich, but it is spiritually poor and needs a moral anchor to restrain selfishness and corruption. She believes Christ is China's best hope, and she prays that Chinese conversions to Christianity will lead to a, quote, godly partnership between America and China. President Obama meets with China's new president next week.
How powerful is that? I mean, here's a leader protest. And now she's forced into exile, but she found the Lord. Let me tell you something. Just because things start out, you know, not good place, in God, they always end well. You know,
right.
It's right around the corner. God's going to just take care of the situation.
Yeah.
But amazing. Look at this. She says that although China is materially rich, they're spiritually poor. I can name another country like that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hello, the United States. You know, materially rich, there's something that's happening everywhere, it seems, all across the world, that the answer to everything is more money. Is more money.
All right.
I mean, we just throw money at this, you know, throw money at that, we throw money at this, throw money at that. And, I mean, my goodness, I mean, you would think that if you had all the money in the world, it would solve every problem. It would solve every problem. But, I mean, have we not seen, and many have fallen for that lie, but have we not seen enough of people in the media and entertainment world that have lost their minds?
Oh, yeah.
Who have been, you know, have seen, you know, vast wealth
Yeah.
And let me tell you, if money wasn't the answer, if money was the answer, why are they losing, you know, some of them are losing their minds. Why are some of them, you know, jumping out of windows, committing suicide?
Right.
Constantly in and out of rehab.
Yeah.
Yeah, in and out of all these things. Come on now. Yeah. What is, you know, what's the deal here? What's the deal? And it's because money's not the answer.
Yeah, I think about it. As soon as she said that, as far as, you know, we have material wealth, but we're spiritually not wealthy. I think about that's exactly what Jesus said to the church of Laodicea in Revelation. He says that, you know, you say to me that you're rich.
And I have need of nothing.
Yeah, in Revelation 3, verse 17, he says, you say, I'm rich, I have acquired wealth, and I don't need a thing, but you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. And he says, I counsel you, buy from me gold refined in the fire so you can become rich. And it's just like, rich is not the materialism in the eyes of the world. Richness is closeness and relationship with Jesus Christ.
I know, that's right.
That's wealth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you know what? That did not impress God.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That did not impress the Lord. Your bank account, big or small, does not impress God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but it's amazing how people have been so easily manipulated by money. I mean, I've seen in just certain, you know, listen, if you're elevating someone in your fellowship because they have money, if you're putting them in a position because they have some sort of, you know, wealth, that is not good. God does not look at that stuff, you know, and it's amazing. God is not into favoritism. He's not into any of those things. He's going to hold us accountable for that. He's going to absolutely hold us accountable. And listen, our answer is not going to be money. And let me just give you like a little clue here. In a little while, there ain't going to be no more money left. There's not going to be any money.
No.
I mean, God showed us prophetically, showed me that the economy was going to be over in 6 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Prophetically speaking, that it was going to be a rapid thing. The world was going to change as we know it.
Mm-hmm.
And God gave me this dream. He spoke to me prophetically. And let me tell you, not just me. I mean, Greg saw money being just sucked up like a vacuum. In a pyramid, and then at the end of it, it was like it was all burnt up.
Yeah,
it was all burnt up. And you have what's going on in Greece is really quiet right now. It's really quiet, but those dominoes will fall. We shared about how there's so many people in Spain that are squatting. They're staying in homes that have been absolutely abandoned. And no one's even coming to chase them out.
Wow.
Listen, these idols are going down. And if we've made money such an idol, not only in this country, but we've made money an idol all around the world. And this former leader is so true. I mean, now she has a ministry and she's doing things to save babies and girls. But the answer for China is not, you know, the answer is not only for China, it's for everybody.
Mm-hmm, right.
It's for the whole world. We can't lean on false idols, and the biggest idol today is money.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, the church itself, only 3% of the church, according to George Barna, actually tithes, right. Actually honors the Lord. And I think about one of the verses in the Bible that speaks about, says, listen, you're storing up all of the stuff in your barn, not even knowing that this night your life is going to be called for me.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, how many people are investing so much in their homes and their own personal wealth and their own stuff? Meanwhile, leaving God's house, God's people, destitute. There's nothing there.
Yeah.
And God says, bring your tithe into the storehouse.
Mm-hmm.
And listen, you can't serve both. You can't serve God and money. You got to choose who you will serve.
That's right.
You know, and let me tell you something. You rather have the Lord. That's an indictment. That's an indictment to be materially rich and spiritually poor. You know what? That's a good inventory for anyone to take. And when we say rich, understand that you live, if you live in America, in the top, what, 20% of the world?
Yeah.
I would probably say maybe 10% of the world.
Yeah.
Think about that. You are enormously rich, the poorest person in America, in these United States, lives on average more square footage than the average European. Not the poorest European, the average European.
Mm-hmm.
We have luxuries in this country that only some people can only dream about. Clean water. Clean water. And you take a glass of water out of your sink. You refuse to drink the glass of water out of your sink because you say it tastes bad. And you only drink Evian or bottled water because it's just nasty what comes out of your sink. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you, friend, that there's some people that don't even have clean water. They would love to have the water that you call nasty.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's like so often it's just like we take what God has given us, and it's like we don't even see. It's like we've been born into a lifestyle of comfort that now we become to expect and even now demand comfort.
And that's something.
Yeah.
And it's like, my goodness, if we don't take heed, if we don't have a checkup from the neck up, if we don't realize what is happening to us, I'm telling you, we are on a slippery slope. And once you start sliding, you are not going to be able to get yourself back up. This is going down. But it can all be avoided. Let me tell you, there's hope for America. There is hope for the church. But the only hope can be found in Jesus Christ. The only hope can be found in the Lord and getting things right. I mean, how many times have people thought that money was the right thing only to find out that, you know, there's an old story of the businessman. He says, I worked so hard and get all this wealth and get all this money, and I need to put my kids to college, and I got bills to pay, I got mortgage to pay, I got all this stuff, and I'm going to just keep working the extra hour, I'm going to burn the midnight oil, and he's working so hard to climb up this ladder of success, and he gets all the way to the top of the building. He's made it. You remember those old Toyota commercials? The guy rides a Toyota, and he stops a car, and he jumps out and says, a feeling. Yeah. I'm dating myself. Old Toyota. He's jumping up on top of that building. I've made it. I've did it. I've conquered the world. I got the commas in the paycheck that I wanted. I bought the houses and I bought the cars and I bought all the stuff and I got it and I'm living the American dream. And he's getting caught up in this moment. All of a sudden he's looking across the sky and he's looking at the other building and he's looking closer and closer. And guess what? Those kids, he says, they look like my kids. And that woman over there, that looks like my wife. Yeah, sir. You are spending all this time climbing this ladder, chasing the dream, chasing the money, chasing the lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
And you made it. You made it up the ladder. You did it. You're right. But your ladder was on the wrong building.
Mm.
Your family and God were on another building.
Mm-hmm.
I want to encourage this where America's at. They think that they've made it. They think that they've accomplished success because they've got the stuff. Let me tell you, stuff can go in a day. Hello, Oklahoma?
Yeah.
Hello? You know, I mentioned that just to say that a short tornado... A tornado that lasts less than an hour destroyed homes, annihilated them. And all the stuff that was there is just missing, broken, torn up, messed up, gone. Let me tell you, stuff, it's just stuff. You can't take any of these things with you. But it's better to be spiritually rich, to have your substance, your whole life built on God than on money.
Amen. Right.
Telling you, on money. And this sounds so agreeable, sounds so good. I'm telling you, do an inventory. Do an inventory, you know, and draw a line, take a white piece of paper, and then on the left-hand side, write materially rich, And then write spiritually on the other side. Draw a line right down the middle. And do listen, it's better that you inspect yourself now than to have this exposed, have God expose this to you later. Mm-hmm. And you can't do nothing about it. Do an inventory of yourself. You know, the book of Proverbs tells us that a wise man, a wise woman gives thought to our ways. We should give thought to our ways. If you don't evaluate what you're doing today now, when will you evaluate
it? That's all right.
And there's nothing like that heartache. There's nothing like realizing that you've spent your life. We talked about on VFN Radio, what are you going to do with the life, the time that you have left? But it's nothing sadder to realize that you spent your life on things that matter least. I often think about those guys during the Enron scandal, that big energy company in California, how many times those folks, you know, work the extra hours. And sometimes, don't get me wrong, you got to do what you got to do. God doesn't mind you having money and having nice things. He minds if money has you. Mm-hmm. But he doesn't mind you working hard, and if you got to do a little overtime here and there and, you know, doing the things to take care of your family. Listen, all of that's within reason. But we're talking about beyond the reason. We're talking unhealthy. We're talking where this has consumed your life. There's more to life than stuff. He says, seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you as well. But it matters what you seek.
That's right. It does matter.
It matters. You know, because you can spend all your time in the wrong place. At the wrong place.
Yeah.
And then when it's over, it's over.
Mm-hmm.
And it's time. It's time for America. We're seeing all, you know, this nation has been so blessed, is oozing with so much wealth. And yet, you know, there's such a moral decline in our nation. There's such a moral decline in our nation. And it's so important that we turn back our hearts to the Lord. Let me tell you something. All this wealth is there's signs, it's evidence going to be brought up against us.
Yeah.
These chunks of gold, the stuff that we have is going to be thrown at our side and saying, you've been so blessed. What did you do?
Yeah.
What did you do?
Yeah, when much is given, much is expected. Huh. And there's a lot of resources. You know, something that always just totally just gripped my heart when I found out, I think it was actually in you were talking earlier about Richard Warmbrand, and there was an evangelist. And he, I don't know, was in like South Africa or somewhere, or some a country, and he met a little village man, and he had one page of the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
He couldn't even read it, but he knew it was from the Bible. And every day, and he couldn't even keep it in his Bible because it was in an area where there was Christians were persecuted. So he went like miles away and dug it in the ground and hid it.
Buried it.
Buried it. And every night or every couple of nights when he was able to, he would go walk wherever he went and buried it, and then he would just stare at it. And it's just like we have the whole Bible from cover to cover. We understand it. You can walk down in this country of America. It's just like the blessings that we have just don't even begin to touch on the reality of how God has set us apart. I mean, we've talked about the birth of this nation, how this nation has come to pass, that we have aligned ourselves in agreement with Israel, and it's just like God sees that, and it's just like, okay, we are blessed. Every day we see God bless America, God bless America, and it's just like, no, we have, God has blessed America. We need to acknowledge God, because if not, we're going to answer for that.
Absolutely.
We're going to answer for that.
Absolutely. It's not, you know, I feel convicted even saying God bless America. It's how much more blessing is he going to pour out?
Do you want more? Right. Do we need more?
Yeah. It's time for America to bless God.
Yeah.
That's what it's time for. It's time for America to bless God. I want to tell you, ask yourself the question, are you materially rich and spiritually poor? Do the inventory.
Yeah.
Check yourself while you still have time. And if you got to correct it, correct it. Correct it now. Be on the right side of this. And say, God, I want to turn my life around. I want to be right with you.
Yeah.
I want a different result. I want to be spiritually rich towards you.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be right back after these messages. You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget you can visit us at bfntv.com.
Every man needs to hear encouraging words from his wife. This is John Fuller with Focus on the Family Minute. Here's Kathy Lipp explaining how important affirming words can be.
I think that affirming your husband can change the way he walks through the world. It can change his posture. It can change how he approaches other people. When he knows that his wife is at work or at home praying for him, has got his back, and believes in him, it changes the way he parents, because he parents with confidence now, knowing that he has somebody on his side. He can walk into work saying, you know what, work was terrible today, but I get to go home to somebody who cares about me, even if somebody here doesn't.
Your spoken praise, appreciation, and prayers play a vital role in helping your husband. For more trusted advice to help your relationship thrive, visit FocusOnTheFamily.com/marriage.
Well, you know, you think about, you know, when you get saved, the first thing you want to do is what? You want to know more about Jesus, right?
That's right.
And so you start reading the Bible. You're excited about reading the Bible. And then you think you know, when you want to learn how to read and write and add, you want to go to school, right?
Sure.
You know, and look, let me tell you about my experience. So I got excited, man. I'm just in love with Jesus. I read the Bible all the way through. It may have been the first book I ever read all the way through. And I'm just pumped. I'm floating, man, you know, on the police, you know, and I'm just excited and just totally, you know. And so then I apply for Bible school. I'm just so committed. You know, I'm like, I filled out this application to be able to go to Bible school, you know, me and Jesus. Yeah. And so I go through all the processes of approval, and I walk through the whole traditional cycle, you know, and I make it through references and all this kind of stuff. And I finally go to the pastor's office, you know, I get back there and I sit down. I just share my juvenile in the Lord heart with him about, you know, what I felt like to do, and he was just very encouraging, you know, and he signed my application to go somewhere else to get an education, you know. You think I could have got one there with 1,200 people. Anyway, so then I go send my application off, so I'm waiting patiently for my application to come from the Bible school that the whole world is supposed to be talking about. And I get a reply back from them. They tell me, listen, John, are you hearing me? Listen to this.
I'm hearing.
They said I wasn't saved long enough to go to school. I got rejected, man. They wouldn't even let me go to school, man.
Oh, my goodness.
What do you do with that? I'm like, oh, my goodness, you know? And so I'm dealing with this personal rejection that I can't learn about Jesus. I'm not saved enough to know him yet. There's nobody discipling me. I got a reference to go to this place. I guess the school is just not here today, by the way. It didn't last that long. It kind of closed up.
Wow.
Which is kind of good. I don't have it hanging on my wall. But, you know, that's what VFNU is about. You know, Vine Fellowship Network University is that, you know, I can feel your pain. If you're listening right now and you love Jesus, you know, you just want to know more about him. And I want to encourage you to find out more on vfnu.org today. That's not how Jesus is. Remember, the Pharisees were amazed that simple fishermen were being used. They had a deep education, and they knew you had to have the Bible memorized to be a Pharisee, you know. And by the age of 40, Paul had it memorized. But they were using simple fishermen. God was using simple fishermen. And they just couldn't get it. But just because they couldn't get it didn't mean they didn't have it. They had Jesus, you know what I'm saying, amongst them, and God was moving. So I want to encourage you that God loves you. God's got a plan for your life. If you're feeling called in to know more about Jesus, you know, possibly even called to go into the harvest field, you know, be a minister, to be a shepherd, a pastor, maybe even a church plant. You can find out more at vfnu.org.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and joining with me today is Steve, Pat, and Chris. Boy, our producer knows how to hook it up. VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT. Well, my goodness, we just got back, and we're talking about, listen, are you either... are you materially rich and spiritually poor? Mm. We got to turn that around.
Yeah.
Because let me tell you, our wealth will testify against us if we're not in the right place with God. God doesn't mind you having things. He minds things having you. And it's important because right now our country has a whole lot of wealth.
Yeah.
But we are so spiritually poor.
We are busted.
We are busted. And it's amazing. We can look at the country, but you know what? The country is made up of individuals. It's like, you know how we separate? It's like, oh, that America. No, that America, it's us. It's us. That country over there. Yeah, well, it's made up of individuals. But, you know, if we follow the wisdom of God found in the book of Proverbs, that a wise man, a wise woman gives thought to their ways. Mm-hmm. If we do an evaluation, we can get right. We can get right. Steve, man, talk to us. I know that the Lord is sharing some just amazing things with you. What's the Lord been showing you?
Well, he's been speaking to me, just continuing just the powerful truth of just being offended, you know. And it's last time I was just sharing with you, I had God had asked me the question, you know, who are you listening to? Mm-hmm. And he kind of asked me another question. It's amazing how God, when God asks you a question, he doesn't really necessarily need an answer.
He's not looking for an answer.
Yeah.
Right.
He's, he already knows it.
Yeah. But he's asking you the question to see what you're at, what, you know, what you may not have thought of. And he asked me, he says, you know, whose words are you repeating? And he was speaking to me about offense. And in Matthew 15, the Pharisees came up and asked Jesus, you know, how come, you know, you don't follow these traditions about what we do? And you can, and Jesus was talking about the fact that, like, it's not about the outside of the cup, it's the inside of the cup. And as he was finished up saying this, his disciples came up to him and they said in Matthew 15, verse 12, he says, then the disciples came up to him and they asked him, do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this? And I just began to really just chew on that. It's just like, these were the religious people.
Mm-hmm.
These were the religious people that had, you know, the word memorized, but they were offended by the truth. They were offended by the Father's word that was spoken to Jesus, that Jesus said. Because everything that Jesus said and he did, it was done by the Father. Mm-hmm. And as I continued to read in that, what God really, really made known to me was the fact that all these things Jesus had done, the disciples saw.
Right.
Eyes were being opened, the dead were being raised, ears were being opened, miracles, sickness was leaving. But then Jesus asked his disciples, they says, you know, who do you say that I am? And the disciples were so quick to say what other people were saying, what other people were saying who Jesus was. But Peter just kind of stopped for a moment. Mm-hmm. And at that moment, God gave Peter that revelation of, you are the Christ.
Mm.
And he did not let what Jesus' past teachings were to offend him. Because if we allow Jesus' words to offend us because it contradicts, well, what we want, what our expectations are, what our desires are, it's going to get in the way. And it's just like God just began to just build on that. And it was just amazing because I think about the journey that Peter went on.
Right.
I mean, Peter denied Jesus at the crucial hour. And it was... Mm-hmm. But he was holding on to that revelation. And I think about Judas also denied Jesus. But the thing is, though, Judas never sought after Jesus like Peter did.
Yeah.
Peter would hungered and he was so zealous and it's just like, I want to know you and I'm ready to follow you. Judas never did that.
You know what the difference was there? The difference was that Peter actually repented.
Yeah.
Judas felt sorrowful for what happened.
Right.
He threw the coins back at them,
but
he never, ever, ever repented to Jesus.
Yeah, he didn't get over it.
The Bible says that godly sorrow worketh repentance. You know, there's a lot of people that feel bad about what they've done.
Yeah.
They feel horrible, but let me tell you something. Feeling bad is not good enough. It's godly sorrow, sorrow that works repentance in your life that causes you to reach out to God and repent.
Yeah, and I said all that to say this. It's just like a storm came into their life. That season of just like an absolute where it's just almost like, you know, have you ever like fallen, like when you're playing sports and you fell on the ground or like the ball was like right at your chest and you fell on the ball and the wind was knocked out of you? and you're just gasping and you feel like you got no life in you. And it's just like, God says that there's going to be storms in this life.
Mm-hmm.
But hey, he says, cheer up, look up. I've overcome this life.
Mm-hmm.
And what God revealed to me was that everything was shaken in Peter's life, so that the only thing that was left was his revelation. That's the only thing that he had, was understanding that the love of God. It's just like, we have to have that revelation, because those offenses are going to come.
Oh, yeah.
And if we don't have that, and it's just like, we're going to fall away. And that was the truth of it, is because we can seek information, we can read the Word of God, we can read the Word of God. The religious people knew the Word of God. Judas spent time with Jesus just like his disciples did, but he didn't have that revelation. He didn't have that love connection.
Mm-hmm. He had another God.
That's right.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And it was just so powerful to me, because it's just like understanding the fact that Jesus's words can offend us if we allow it to be, because his truth is, can contradict our desires, can contradict, okay, what do I want out of this life, or possibilities are endless. But it's just like God's will, his perfect will, that's where it's different, because it's just like, why are we going after God? Is it because of what he's going to do, or is it just to be with him?
Are we seeking him, or are we seeking his hand?
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, and it was just like that much more of a repeated foundation of having that revelation and tying it in with the fact of, like, if we don't, those moments of offense are going to come.
Mm.
And it's going to cause us to fall away from him, and it just... It's that word that it's like you constantly want to chew on it, because you can read one scripture and see one level of it, and through your own experiences in your life, and it's like you can come across multiple levels, like, oh my goodness, I've never seen that before. But that's the difference. That's that revelation.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, it was like there was that day when God gave me a revelation of a revelation. You might be listening to this right now and you're like, I don't know what a revelation is. What's a revelation? And it's like, if you think about it, if you're reading the Word of God like you read a math book, you're just reading the pages, you're not really getting anything out of it. But when you are reading that Word of God and you're looking at it like you're actually spending time with God, and you ask him, God, I need to encounter you. I want to know a personal relationship with you. I want to have that perspective of your Word where I can repeat this Word, but what do you mean by it? What are you saying in my life about it?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
That's that relationship. When we say, when you go to iabide.org or you're reading your word in the morning, that's that back and forth communication, because it's that encounters that's going to ground you.
Sure.
During those hard places.
And God will reveal himself. The revelation is God expanding upon what's the written. There's the written word, which is the Logos. But then there's the Rhema word. The Rhema word is the revealed word, that revealed word to you today. And oftentimes when I abide, I say, God, you know, reveal the word in the word to me today.
Yeah.
Reveal the word in the word. There's a revealed word as we're abiding, as we're spending time with God, as we're staying. It's exactly what you're talking about, Steve.
Mm-hmm.
Because God will, it's, we've talked about on VFN Radio, it's the unfolding.
Mm-hmm.
It's the depthness. God will bring you into deeper of to the word. But it's not going to happen with a casual glance or a casual read. You got to spend time with them.
Yeah.
You got to
spend time with them.
And that's the big thing. It's just like, are we willing to invest?
Mm.
And I remember years ago when God revealed to me, that's just like, whenever you make a choice in life, you know, God says we have free will and we have to exercise that choice. It's like you were saying before, God sees that morning when you drag yourself out of bed, when you need that cup of coffee or whatever to kind of wake up, but you make that choice to go after God. When you're saying yes to God, you're saying no to everything else so that you can make that time to spend with
him.
That's
right.
Mm-hmm. When you're saying yes to be with your spouse, your husband, your wife, your children, you're saying they are important at that one moment to be with them. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, when you're saying yes to God, he sees that.
Isn't that amazing? You know, I'm always amazed who says, well, I had no choice. I just had to. No. Life is a bunch of choices.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You chose to say no to that, but you chose to say yes to this. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
No. Yeah.
It goes both ways. But you're right.
Yeah.
If you're choosing to spend time with God, you're actually saying no to other things. The question is, and for many, according to George Barna, Men are not willing to say no to sleep, not willing to say no to comfort, not willing to say no to, you know, stepping out and just believing God that he's going to speak to me, he's going to reveal his word, that, you know what I'm saying, being starting out with a spiritual discipline. But you got to say no. Isn't that something? America doesn't want to say no to anything. Believers don't want to say no to to being inconvenienced, no to giving, no to reading God's word, and it's there's no self-denial in anything. Those are the ones that are big, greatly offended, because it's everything is when everything revolves around you and revolve what you want to do. The mere thought of someone asking you to deny yourself, what? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
The mere thought, did you actually think that I should deny myself right now? The mere thought just locks them up and offends them.
Yeah.
And you got to say no. You got to say no. You got to say no to yourself and yes to God in so many different ways, you know?
Right.
Because it's a life of offense, because you're constantly going to be offended because you refuse to put yourself aside.
Amen. That's the truth. Because it's just like every choice, it's either me or it's someone else. It's either ourselves or Jesus.
That's right.
That's when it comes down to it in the most simplest form. But when you think about it, when you look at that perspective, it makes your choices so much easier. Because in this choice, am I loving me or am I choosing to love Jesus?
That's right. It's a choice, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a choice. It's amazing that there's a price associated with that choice.
And it's amazing. It's like when you tell people a situation, you tell them truth, and you hear that response, man, it's just so hard. I don't know. It's just so hard. It's like, actually, it's just not. It's just, you're just encountering the reality of the fact that you just might have to make a decision that's contrary to what you want.
Yeah.
And I've had many of those, but God loves us enough to share the truth with us that we need to hear.
Absolutely.
Not what we want to hear.
Absolutely. Well, man, that's awesome. It's exactly what we need.
And
it's really good stuff. It's exactly what we need to hear, because so many times we're putting ourselves first.
Yeah.
When we need to be putting ourselves last.
Last.
Last, right?
Which totally flips the American culture.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
We'll be right back after these messages. You're listening to BFN Radio. Don't forget you can visit us at BFNTV.com.
We're going to be releasing this week on BFN TV. This generation, go to VFN TV. Go to VFNTV.com. This is VFN Radio you're listening to. So go to VFNTV.com and go to VFN TV in your menu, and you'll see a prophetic teaching about this generation. It's called This Generation. And it's time for us to wake up and respond. And it's going to encourage you, because it's going to give you a perspective that if not, the things that we won't give up now, God will have taken away from us.
Mm-hmm.
He'll look, and there's raiders coming in as we speak, trying to raid the coffers, the government, the taxes, the freedoms, the Constitution, all these different things. But understand that God is allowing that. He's not doing it. He's allowing it to take place. It's his permissive will because of the choices that we've made, and he's intentionally allowing it. It's intentional. There's always somebody that wants to raid you, but he's keeping them back. And then, you know, if we don't respond, it just escalates and gets worse in regards to that. Even being sold as a slave to your enemy. You know, slavery didn't start in America. Slavery's been around since day one. Even Jesus said, you know, as Christians, you know, slaves obey your masters as unto the Lord. If you can get your freedom, get your freedom. So in the context of that, it was just an everyday conversation then. I don't want to be sold to my enemy. You know what I'm saying?
All right.
I don't want to be sold to my enemy. But I can't be in rebellion to God and think that the end's going to be good. You know, and it may happen on an individual basis. You got to listen to this. Listen to it. It's called This Generation. And what it is that you have a pagan generation. But it's not unusual for a generation who has not yet received or didn't receive the gospel being transferred to their generation to be paganistic. But there's hope. There is hope. And God has a way to do that. Go to VFNTV.com and choose VFN TV on the menu and look for This Generation and begin to listen to it now and share it with your friends. It's a prophetic word for this day and this time. It is amazing how this is all working. It's people just like you, friends like you, that stand with us and understand, you know, we've got to make a difference in our generation, that stand with us prayerfully and financially, that just partner on a monthly basis.
to financially build a foundation that where we can carry this message not only to the nation of America, but to the nations of the world. It's amazing how so many people are being encouraged by a simple gift of a few dollars a month, $25 a month, $50 a month, whatever it is. And you know what? Together, if you're having difficulty in how to present the gospel to this generation, partner with us, and we together at VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program will bring the gospel to this nation and this nation by God's grace to the Lord. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. VFNTV.com and click on giving. Taking VFN Radio and VFN TV anywhere you want to go, Wi-Fi or no-fi. Why? Because of the podcast. We have podcasting available for you right now. What happens with podcasts? You go to VFNTV.com, click on the podcast, choose the source of podcast that you want to receive it in based on your particular device, computer or mobile device, and realize it just automatically will do what you set it up to do. It will download it while you're having lunch. It'll download it while you're at work. And then when you're driving anywhere in the world, flying anywhere in the world, even when you're on an airline, they say turn off all these mobile phones. You still can actually listen to what's already on your playlist, which would be downloaded programs and highlights from VFN Radio. Go to VFNTV.com and get the podcast today.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and joining with me is Pat, Steve, and Chris. My goodness, you want to offend God or you want to offend man? We're just talking about that. We're coming back from the break. Listen, the truth is going to offend people if you don't want. It's going to offend whoever doesn't want to line up with the truth.
Yeah,
and so it's so important to say, you know what? It's only going to offend you if you're full of pride.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Because truth is truth, and we're not looking for God's word to conform to us. We need to conform to God's word. But, you know, I wanted to share winning a nation in a day. We're talking about God wants to touch the entire world, and he's saving Muslims. He's saving saving people everywhere.
Yeah.
And this is so exciting. This is so exciting. We're talking about can a nation be won in a day? I say yes, nations can be won in a day.
Amen.
But right now, Charisma News is actually reporting on a global outreach day that occurred last month, actually. It was a global outreach day which mobilized Christians to share the gospel in over 200 nations. That's huge.
Wow.
200 nations, Christians were just, they're going out in full force in one day to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is the second annual Global Outreach Day. I mean, you heard about an outreach around the block or outreach in your city. This is global outreach, and its vision is to mobilize Christians, like I said, in more than 200 nations to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to every corner of the world.
Amen.
A whole bunch of ministries were involved in this outreach, but it's so cool. I mean, it's really exciting to see what's going on with this. You know, we need to increase our vision.
Mm-hmm.
We need to increase our vision to say, hey, we're not just going to win a few or just a couple of crusades or the one man gang and the you know. And listen, it's going to take all of us to bring in this huge harvest. Acts 1:8 says that you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit's come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and to the end of the earth.
Yeah. All right.
To the end of the earth. And the Holy Spirit will empower us, but we need to get in tune with what the Spirit of God is doing. You know, I always say, let's not ask God to bless what we're doing. Let's just do what God is blessing.
Yeah.
I think that's a better strategy, you know.
Right.
But I think that's the way for us to go. And I love this quote. One of the leaders is saying, no preacher is coming. No preacher is coming. The whole church is going out. My goodness, this is what we need to be about. No preacher is coming. The whole church is coming out. And that's when we're going to see the harvest come in. We're going to see the harvest come in when it takes every single one of us, every one of God's children, believers, people that know Jesus, followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, going out together to share the love of God. It's not about just the preacher, man. Come on. It's about every man, every woman in Christ reaching out to their neighbors, reaching out to their coworkers, reaching out to the people that, that they do business with, and sharing the love of God, because God loves them. God truly, truly loves them. They said that this global outreach last year saw more than 8 million Christians. Listen, this 8 million Christians involved in worldwide evangelizing, and they saw they were trying to reach, those 8 million were trying to reach about 25 million people. And the reports say that about 3 million salvations, people came to the Lord as a result. Wow. You think about 3 million people coming to the Lord in a day? In a day? And it's time. It's time. They said a 19-year-old man, mobilized Christians in more than 300 Brazilian cities. 300.
Wow.
A red light district in Indonesia was reached with the gospel, and it's no longer a red light district anymore.
Wow. Praise God.
How awesome is that? They said that there was extraordinary miracles that have taken place. And in fact, many doctors actually gave their life to the Lord as a result of these outreaches. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's time to increase our vision and to see that, listen, we can do this.
Yeah.
You know, with God, you know, we have a majority. And this is his heartbeat. This is the Lord. This is the church's work. This is the business of the church, if you will.
Amen.
It's to seek and save what was lost, not just the lost, but seek and save, you know, what was lost. That's what Jesus came to do. And he's restoring everything. He's restoring everything, but we have to have our priorities in place. We're not seeking to win the lost for no other reason but to bring God's children, lost children, back to him, bringing them back to the Father. That's the heartbeat of God. Mm-hmm. That's the heartbeat of God. Listen, he has invested everything.
Amen.
Everything, even his one and only son, so that people would come after him. And so how could we do any less? And so when I think about that, it just stirs my heart. Hopefully it stirs yours. I know it does.
Amen.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you think about it, it's just like, how often have we been praying? It's like, God, give us the nations. God, give us the nations. And, you know, end abortion, send revival. And it's just like, God is reviving this generation. And I think about one of the recent segments of just that Bible study in a high school that half the high school is now meeting just to talk about the Word of God and having Bible study. This generation, God is moving powerfully. Mm-hmm. And if you're listening to this right now, there is a reason why God gave you breath during this generation. Why did you not live when they were writing on papyrus, when they were circumventing the wheel?
Yeah.
Because God has a purpose right now.
Yeah.
This is a moment. This is not an accident.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, though, what are you choosing your life to live for?
Yeah.
Because God created you for greater things than you can even fathom.
Yeah.
And somebody once said, and I don't know who said this, it's like, you want your life to matter. And I'm paraphrasing, but he's like, find out what God's doing and devote your life to it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because God is doing a powerful thing amongst the nations right now. And it's only, and this is just the beginning.
Yeah. And it really is. It really is. And you find that so many people around the world are they're searching, they're looking, they want to know the truth.
Yeah.
And listen, if the truth lives in you, let him out.
Amen.
Let him out. if the truth lives in you, let him out and share him with the world.
Amen.
You know, the truth, his name is Jesus.
Amen.
And salvation is here, Jesus. And listen, there's no greater name. There's no greater name. Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that he is Lord. One day, hopefully it'll be before they pass away, but they will confess him as Lord.
Amen.
Let me tell you, there's nothing more beautiful. There's nothing more exciting than to see a person who was once going straight to hell. There's no other way to say it.
Mm-hmm.
Turn and give their life and give their heart to God. You know, I'm thinking of a person right now that was in a bad shape, was addicted to drugs, in and out of rehab, just down and out, depressed, and it's a beautiful thing. She's come to find the Lord.
Praise God.
And it's amazing. Facebook posts change. I mean, it's like scripture upon scripture. And it's just absolutely beautiful to see the change in this person's life. I mean, it's just like, it's life. It's life, because this person's life was just doom. It was gloom. I mean, it was really, really sad. It was really sad. And seeing her give her life to God, and seeing such an amazing change and impact God has had in her own life and even her conversation. That's what God does. He comes just to fully take over. You know, the Word of God says that if any man be in Christ, old things pass away, and behold, all things become new.
Amen.
That old person, that old man, that old woman is dead and gone, and there's a new person that God is bringing forth, and that's really who you are. You become alive to God. Your spirit has been born again, and now you're connecting and relating to God.
Mm-hmm.
God.
Amen.
And so, my goodness, 200 nations? 200 nations? Mm-hmm. What would happen? What would happen if every believer in your city was committed just to reach a neighbor? Just to reach, and he said, I am going to reach at least one of my neighbors. However long it takes, I'm going to love them into the kingdom. What would happen?
Mm-hmm.
What would happen? I tell you what would happen. It'd be a great awakening would occur.
Amen.
We have to get out of that comfort and convenience and say, God, I want to do your will. I want to do what you have called me to do. I just don't want to live this life on accident. I want to live this life on purpose.
Amen.
For you. Because let me tell you something. There's nothing more exciting. Nothing more exciting than to be right smack dab in the middle of God's will. There's nothing more depressing to be out of God's will. Has anyone done, Pat? Is there any testimony? Okay, you don't want to share on that?
Stay away from those
times. You don't want to share on that right now? No, no personal experience. Chris is awfully quiet here right now. Okay. sorry I brought you up. Sorry, bro. Steve is perfect. He's never been outside of God's will. So
is God.
We can't measure.
It's just God.
We can't measure.
This is the new creation.
Oh, we can't measure to that perfect flow there. But anyway,
no.
There's nothing like being out of God's will. Nothing like being in God's will. I've done both. I like being in God's will.
Yeah.
His plan, because that's the safe place to be. That's the good place to be. And I have hope. I have hope for America. I have hope for the world. Let me tell you something. As long as you have breath, and as long as you have life on this earth, and as long as you have made Jesus the Lord, let the truth out. Let salvation out. Let the Lord do what he's going to do through your life and be willing to reach someone. Listen, heaven's going to be filled with people, every tribe, every tongue. There's going to be all types of worship, eclectic style. It's going to be wonderful. You want to know that somebody up in here was because you told them about Jesus.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
You want to know. I brought somebody to the party. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I brought someone into the kingdom. The Bible says that he who wins souls is wise.
Amen.
And I'm going to enjoy that day. And I'm hoping you can too. And that's why we're here on VFN Radio. We're keeping the conversation light because we want to see as many people as possible to come into the full revelation of who Jesus is, that he wants to be their Lord, their Savior, their very best friend, and so that they can live in eternity with him. Heaven is going to be glorious, and we want to see everyone there. Here's the goal. Heaven full, hell empty. That's what we want to see. That's exactly what we want to see. Well, you know, as we come to the end of the extra hour, we do want to share with you all the wonderful things that are available for you on The Torch. We have a fantastic series on the fear of the Lord. And I want to share a little preview about what we're going to be talking about in the coming days. But I know, Pat, you've been reading John Bevere's book on the fear of the Lord, and I know God's just been speaking
volumes. It's been powerful. I'll read it, then I just go back and go over it again. I just don't want to miss it.
Yeah,
there's just so much. So I'm still blown away that I've actually read this book a couple times before. It's what was
have
that?
I, have I read this? Like, I need to read it again? Yeah.
Yeah. What was that? Did I keep reading this? What's the deal? But it's powerful.
It's powerful.
When it's, you know, it's amazing when there's a truth there. It's just like, it's amazing.
Yeah. It's just a sign of the times right now.
I mean, it is.
It's going to require the fear of the Lord to make it in these days coming, because if you don't have it, I mean, it's not going to be good for you.
You're in trouble. It's exactly what the Lord told me.
Mm-hmm.
He's been speaking to me quite a bit as well, too, on the fear of the Lord, is that it's the only thing. Listen, you can put all kind of protection, all kind of barriers and accountability, and you got to have accountability in your life to help you not to fall into places that you don't need to be falling into. Or shall I say, walking into,
right.
Falling into just seems like you're just walking in. Oops, there. No, you go to certain places, right?
Mm-hmm.
But what's going to keep you from seeing dark things and touching dark things and going to dark things is not somebody's eye upon you. You don't want to not do something because of fear of getting caught or fear of being wrong or all this type of stuff because someone's watching you. You want to do this because you have a reverential fear and honor for the Lord. You want to know that you know that God's eyes are always upon you. He's with you, and you want to honor him.
Yeah. And you don't want to hurt the one you love.
No.
Yeah. You say you love him, but yet you don't fear him.
Mm-hmm.
You're a liar.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. So it's important. It's important. We're going to be talking about it more. I'm reading a book itself. Called Intimate Friendship with God by Joy Dawson through the understanding of the fear of the Lord. And we're going to share a little bit about some insight into fearing God. But this is what America needs right now. It's what the church needs right now.
Yes.
We need a healthy fear of God. Nothing. There's not one thing that will replace the fear of the Lord. We've added and brought in all sorts of things. But let me tell you something. When we get the fear of the Lord right, you know, somebody once said that when the pattern's right, the glory falls.
Right.
Let me tell you, the pattern is the fear of the Lord.
Yeah.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.